Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 158, the stanzas 1 through 4. O God, thou hast rejected us and hast afflicted sore, and thou hast been angry, but in grace, O once again restore. And what follows, Psalter 158, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Judges 4. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 23. Judges 4. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. The captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. And now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zanaim, which is by Kedesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak the son of Abinoam was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host, with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabe and the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, Is there any man here, that thou shalt say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, as so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued in that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. From the Confession of Faith, as you can find it on page 15 in the back of the Psalter, Article 23, wherein our justification before God consists. We believe that our salvation consists in the remission of our sins for Jesus Christ's sake, and that therein our righteousness before God is implied. As David and Paul teach us, declaring this to be the happiness of man, that God imputes righteousness to him without works. And the same apostle saith that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. And therefore we always hold fast this foundation, ascribing all the glory to God, humbling ourselves before him, and acknowledging ourselves to be such as we really are, without presuming to trust in anything in ourselves or in any merit of ours, relying and resting upon the obedience of Christ crucified alone. which becomes ours when we believe in him. This is sufficient to cover all our iniquities and to give us confidence in approaching to God, freeing the conscience of fear, terror, and dread, without following the example of our first father Adam, who trembling attempted to cover himself with fig leaves. And verily, if we should appear before God relying on ourselves or on any other creature, though ever so little, we should, alas, be consumed. And therefore, everyone must pray with David, O Lord, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Mark and Nicole Vandenbroek, who were blessed yesterday with the birth of a son, and Mr. Neil Vandement, who came home from the hospital this afternoon. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou hast gathered us in this evening hour within the walls of thy house, and then thou hast spared the whole congregation hitherto in this week, may we be given to see thy hand therein. And then thou hast not only spared us all, but then thou hast also given life, where thou hast blessed the father and mother for the fourth time in their married life with a little child, our Lord. Wilt thou grant unto those parents a broken, a humble, and a contrite heart? May the prayers be multiplied, that he may be a little one for thee. Wilt thou help the parents an increased blessing and also an increased responsibility? Wilt thou grant strength for each day? We commend unto thee grandparents, great-grandparents, also an increased blessing and an increased responsibility. Then we commend unto thee all those parents who had disappointments in their married life, the parents with empty arms, parents that were called upon to bring children to the grave. May it please thee to uphold them with all mourning ones in our midst, where there are many. Remember parents who desire more children. And then, Lord, in this evening hour, then thou yet granteth many a blessing. We have heard out of thy holy word that the children of Israel were sorely oppressed for 20 years by the enemy after 80 years of rest. And then after that 80 years, then thy patient long-suffering has come to an end, and then thou hast sold them into the hand of the enemies. And then we read that the highways were unoccupied, that they had to travel byways. And now, Lord, thou hast given unto our country more than 80 years of rest. And then the sins of this country, they are very great. God-provoking sins, much shed blood that cries for vengeance. And yet in thy patient long-suffering, then thou wast not destroyed us. Thou wast not taken peace and prosperity away. May it please thee to grant at times that we may be given to see thy hand therein, that there may be some bewilderment, and, O Lord, that we would not abuse thy patient long-suffering, but that we would be given to seek thee while thou mayest be found, that it may be thy goodness that leadeth us to repentance, where in this evening hour that we do not have to travel byways to come up to thy house, but that we could freely come. Lord, we humbly ask thee that it may please thee to crown thy holy word with thy richest blessing, that it may be accompanied by the loving and the irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit, that thy kingdom may come, that sinners may be converted. Ah, Lord, we have heard it out of thy holy word, the confession of our forefathers, that David has prayed, O Lord, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy servant shall no man living be justified. Then it is needful by the first time and by renewal that it is deeply impressed upon us what sinners we are, what sinners we remain, and that we need a mediator to stand before us in thee, and it may be proclaimed thy dear Son, who was come into the world, who was merited a righteousness, but who also applies that righteousness by his Spirit. And now thou knowest how it is with each and every soul. Thou knowest what we have asked of thee when we have come up to thy house, and thou hast a people upon the earth that has many requests, many riddles, all those holy desires, although thy true people learn that it all comes from above, the work of thy Spirit, to work that need those desires, but also the fulfillment thereof. Wilt thou then grant those further leadings, and may it be experienced what we have heard out of thy holy word, where Deborah has exclaimed that the Lord would go before Barak, our Lord. That is what we need as a congregation in all our ways. Also concerning a new sanctuary, that is what the family circles are, wilt thou grant the exercises of that dependent life, where every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of a turning. To that end, do bless thy word in the church, in the family circles, and in the Christian school. We commend unto thee thy church all over the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, where there are so many countries where thy church cannot gather as we do in this evening hour, but have to remain in their home or in secret places, others in prison, We commend unto thee the Jewish people. May the veil hastily be removed. Remember our mission field, thy servant, the team. Many times the separation and the distance is sorely felt, but may they be given to experience thy special presence and fruit upon the sowing of the seed. We commend that people of Peru unto thee. Lord, remember many countries that are torn asunder because of civil war and unrest. Many fled from their dwellings, many living in refuge camps, many that have lost everything in our Lord. Then we and our children, in the midst of the trials of life, then we may still have so much. And thou wast written in thy word, unto whosoever much is given, much shall be required. We commend unto thee all the special needs. A husband and father may return home from the hospital in this afternoon hour. Ah, Lord, remember him together with his dear wife. Then by renewal thou wast called, my son, give me thy heart. Ah, may it be used, because under each calling, either humbled or hardened, remember all under the physician's care. Remember those that are undergoing treatments. Thou knowest the fears, the great concerns. Grant a place at thy footstool. Remember those that struggle with difficulties and weakness of the mind. Remember crosses and burdens, scars. Oh, may we be found more a begging and a praying people, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Lord, we now humbly ask thee, thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee, for the opening of thy precious testimony. May it please thee to open the same, that with liberty, freedom, and joy, to declare the wonderful things of the Lord, and may it arouse to a holy jealousy among young and old. Ah, Lord, may it then please thee in the latter days of the earth, where thy judgments are hanging so low over the earth, to do a great work amongst us. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. Oh, would it not be much to thy honor when many may be wrought upon who may tell the wonderful things that the Lord has done, how that a poor lost sinner, they have come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Lord, pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes, who wantonly oppress me. Yea, multiplied are they that rise to my dismay, and day by day distress me. And what follows? Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 2. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Judges 4, the 14th verse, the first part. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord had delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? Our text words speak of the Lord going before Barak, with three thoughts. In the first place, Barak's commission. In the second place, Barak's hesitation. And in the third place, Barak's encouragement. The Lord going before Barak. Barak's commission, Barak's hesitation, and Barak's encouragement. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? And that is the blessed portion of the people of God. Oh, that was the blessed portion of Barak, and that the Lord would go before him. Is that also our portion, congregation? That the Lord has gone out before, and because the Lord goes before us with his holy word, and then he comes each time by renewal with law and gospel. And then the Lord yet calls, My son, my daughter, give me thy heart. And have we now been given to follow by the grace of God? Have we now received that true saving faith to believe what a sinner we are, the need for reconciliation, and that the Lord is everything in his hand? Oh, is not the Lord gone out before? It is the encouragement for Barak. We have heard it last time, and that it was a time of the judgments of the Lord. We have heard it. 80 years, the children of Israel had rest. And then in those 80 years, oh, there was still a remnant. The Lord shall always have a remnant. That shall be till the King comes on the clouds of heaven, young and old. Have we now become part of that remnant? Boys and girls, do you now belong to the true people of God? Young people and middle-aged, can we now find our life declared in the Word of God? Because the Lord has given His precious testimony, that we may lay our hearts beside it. And for the true people of God, oh, it is true. Many a questions and many a doubts. But then there are times that they may find their heart and their life declared, and then they may be given to rejoice in the Lord who was gone before them. And now we have heard it, that after 80 years, oh, the patient long-suffering has come to an end. And that shall also be for our country. What God-provoking sins, 'tis true, was an evil time, many an idol, but we do not read in these chapters of the sins that are committed so freely, so boldly in our day, in our country. Must we not say, with Jeremiah, "Woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown is fallen from our head. Ah, do we see it? Are there still hearts that perceive it? And hearts that may be burdened under it, that may come into guilt, and that may yet cry unto the Lord, Ach, Lord." May it please thee in these dark and evil times, that it may be thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to experience that godly sorrow and to experience that repentance. Thus it was an evil time of, we have mentioned it, the highways unoccupied, those boys and girls in those days. The people could not freely travel to different places. They could not travel for the feasts. This all implied that children, young people, they were taken captive. Parents did not know where they were. What a distress and all the fruit of their sin. But we have heard it. And also among that remnant, there was also a mother in Israel. Does not mean there were not more. But a mother in Israel, a close life with the Lord, tender life, a dependent life, a prayer for life. Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them. We have heard it. They came to her for judgment. Then undoubtedly Deborah, as a prophetess, she has also warned the people to repent. And then we have heard it for 20 years. They were greatly oppressed. And what a prayers have been sent up. And after 20 years, also encouragement. Are there still unanswered prayers? Then pray on. Because for that people in that evil time, they have cried unto the Lord. It is true, undoubtedly, for most, to be delivered from those Canaanites, and we have heard it. The Israelites have taken their land, so it was in the way of revenge, how they must have oppressed them. But the Lord has heard. And now our first thought, Barak's commission. And then we read in this chapter, in verse 6, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali. Thus Barak was from the tribe of Naphtali, from the city of Kedesh, that was one of the cities of refuge, undoubtedly in that time. It was not even possible for one that had killed one unawares, or maybe very difficult, at least with much danger from the enemy, to flee to the city of refuge. And then Deborah, she has received a revelation from her God. And then she has said unto him, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun?" When we read, it is in the form of a question. Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying? That is clearly implied. that the Lord has revealed to Deborah, the message as a prophetess, what Barak was called to do. But it can also be implied that Barak has been burdened with the oppression that the Lord has bound the matter upon the heart, and that Deborah by revelation has confirmed it, and that she has commanded that Barak must be used. And now a great privilege in that command, and that was already encouragement for Barak, because Jabin, the general of Sisera, Josephus the historian, he has written in his book that Jabin had 300,000 footmen and 3,000 chariots. It seems that his numbers are too high, because we read clearly of 900 chariots. But nevertheless, they were oppressed. Jabin had those chariots of iron with his horsemen, and the Israelites undoubtedly did not have many arms. There was not an army. There were only footmen. And how must Barak now begin? But the Lord was so good for Barak, because then the Lord has given particulars. Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded thee? Then in the first place, instruction, he must go to Mount Tabor. That is a high plateau, approximately 600 meters above sea level, approximately 19 kilometers east of the Sea of Galilee, boys and girls, tomorrow. Then you can ask your father and mother for a map. Then you can see where Mount Tabor is. Thus, in the first place, the place where he must gather for battle. In the second place, exactly how many soldiers he must call to go to battle. And then further, those 10,000 soldiers, they were to be mainly out of the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. And then to add to it, to a promise, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Now, was that not a clear and a precious message for Barak, given by revelation to Deborah? And now the Lord also comes unto us with this precious word, clear commands. Displeased the Lord by the Spirit to grant unto us the inspired word of God, calling our duty, and it speaks of great oppression. That Jabin, with all his soldiers and with his chariots, he has severely oppressed the children of Israel. But that is nothing compared to the devil. Oh, how he oppresses the children of men. He deceives. He tempts. He assaults. And with one person, with one reason, that the eternal destination may be in hell. Oh, the wonder the Lord's special instruction for Barak, how to be delivered from Jabin. And now the Lord also tells us how we may be delivered from the power and the dominion of the devil. And to that end, the Lord grants the means of grace, the Bible, and prayer, and many promises in the Bible for those that give heed to the word. Also promises upon the means of grace, Isaiah 55 verse 11, that they shall not return void unto the Lord. Thus in that respect, a similar word comes unto us in a different context, as it has come to Barak. May I ask you, what do we now do with that word, with the commands, with the invitations, and with the promises? Do we give heed unto it? Read a solemn word in Proverbs 13, verse 14. He that despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that obeyeth the commandment shall be rewarded. What is now necessary? And our boys and girls can understand it. If we had now a dead person at the front of the church, then we could preach to him. But he would not move. He could not hear. He could not feel. Oh, that is the desperate condition of fallen man. But now it is the work of the Lord, the work of the Spirit. Oh, think of Ezekiel 37, where the prophet Ezekiel was given to prophesy to those dead bones, where there were very many, they were very dry, and then they were given to live. Oh, to that end, may the prayers be multiplied. Our second thought, Barak's hesitation. And then we read of chariots 6 times in Judges 4 and 5. And then in this chapter, in verse 3 and 13, we read of 900 chariots. And in Judges 1, verse 19, they could not drive out the Canaanites in the valley because they had chariots of iron. And they even tell us, boys and girls, that many times, that the wheels of those chariots, they had all sharp knives fastened to them. So then you can understand what would happen when such a chariot would touch us or drive over us. Then they would immediately be killed and be cut up. And it is specifically mentioned 900 chariots. And now there can be many chariots, many different kinds, can multiply it out. Oh, a privilege, when at the moment we do not have to do with chariots. Solomon in his prayer to God with the dedication of the temple, each their own sore and own grief. and those chariots can seem to be so inconquerable. And now Barak has received a clear command. But then we read, and also further direction how the battle would go in verse 7. We shall leave it lie. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. What do you think of the response of Barak? What are your thoughts, congregation? Of the response of Barak. Then maybe there are some that think, but Barak, you do not have so much faith. But he did have faith, because we read among the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets. This Barak is reckoned among the heroes of faith. Had the essence of faith, which is implanted into the heart in the moment of regeneration. John Calvin has stated in a certain place, all we live in today, Christendom, seems they can always believe, they can just bring forth that faith out of their pocket. The church learns it all must be given. Each time by renewal. And then John Calvin has stated that faith can be mixed together with the smoke of much doubt. And God's people, they oftentimes examine, according to the scriptures, very closely whether they have now received that true saving faith. Ah, there can be those times that they doubt whether they really have that faith. Oh, how distressed they can be. Oh, then by renewal they are given to ask the Lord that he may confirm it. And concerning true saving faith, that is not a general faith, but that focuses on special objects, upon special persons, upon special matters, and in our chapter, then that faith of Barak, then it was tested concerning the words of Deborah, concerning the victory that he would receive. Oh, Barak. And that is not strange for the church. Given to look at all those chariots, 900 of them, horses, trained horsemen, a great army. To compare it to our days, an Air Force, F-16s, 2235s, those fighter jets. Then if we would have a country that would not even have an Air Force, then our children can even understand it, that such a country, humanly speaking, would have no defense. and Alberic, thinking about those chariots with his knives, with their knives. Oh, then it was needful that chariot, that Barak, Psalm 121, verse 1, and that based, because Barak has received a clear message from heaven, was not based upon a wish, imagination, some feelings, but Barak had received a clear command from heaven concerning the enemy and concerning the victory. Then it was necessary for a Barak, Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes unto the heavens, from whence cometh my help. But let us also mention that for Barak, a desire in Barak in our chapter, that he is an example and a type of a young Christian. And Deborah, an exercised child of God, that has learned much from heaven. And now for Barak, and that is not a strange matter, because boys and girls, when the Lord grants us a new heart, then we become so jealous of God's people, and can even be when we are in a place that we are even glad that there is a true child of God, because then we can think, especially when we are young, as long as there is a child of God, then the Lord shall not destroy us by fire. Then we are safe. Thus it is true, Barak had his eyes too much on those chariots, but with his request, a desire that a people of God, especially Deborah, who has received that command, may be present. The second place is safety. Think, 2 Kings 6, on Mount Dothan, Elisha. Oh, and that servant has seen those Syrians. Alas, master, what shall we do? Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Oh, then that servant was given to see that the mountain was surrounded by fiery chariots and fiery horses. And what else? Why do you think that Barak had such a desire that Deborah would go with? James 5, verse 16. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Oh, then undoubtedly Barak thought, not all written, of course, but to esteem our neighbor better than ourselves, and when we consider our prayers, many reasons to be ashamed. There are times in the life of God's people. They know of those times when the Lord grants the spirit of prayer and supplication, but then undoubtedly thought, Deborah may go with, and we fight the battle. Think of Exodus 17 with the Amalekites. Then there was an Aaron and Hur who upheld those arms of a Moses, that Barak, if Deborah may be a praying, then the victory will be sure. And when we consider David, when he went out to battle, Then there were those servants that have said, David, this time you must remain home, because thou countest as 1,000. Thus Barak had a desire for the presence of the Lord to go before him. Also Moses, Exodus 33, verse 15, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. And then Barak has went to Mount Tabor. And then there is especially mentioned his obedience. Was the command in verse 6, 10,000 soldiers. And we read in verse 10 and in verse 14 that he has gathered 10,000 soldiers. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. And then we read in verse 13, when Barak has taken his 10,000 soldiers or footmen, because undoubtedly with that oppression, perhaps, like we read in another place in the Bible, that they were not even allowed to have weapons, then it was related to Jabin, Sisera, that they have come, he was gone up to Mount Tabor, and then we read, Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. Boys and girls, you can picture it. Barak, Deborah, we do not read that Deborah has rebuked Barak with his request. Deborah also had grace. Also much knowledge of her own heart. Deborah knew of the struggles, the impossibilities. Thus, how gently she has dealt with Barak, she has stated that when she would go along, that deliverance would be wrought by a woman, thus Barak would not be honored. But then we read of the humility of Barak was not the most important for Barak. Whether his name would be honored and spoken about, it is clear that Barak was exercised with the oppression of his people, love for his people, and love for his God. And to that end, he has went. And then we have not spoken of verse 11. That is a verse of the special providence of the Lord. Providence of God is a chain. Many events, so it would, we hope to hear it later, that in this deliverance, that there were many people that were involved to bring that deliverance. And now Barak, he was happy that Deborah, a mother in Israel, has come along. And then on that plateau, and he was given to see it. Because of that plateau, you could see a great distance. 600 meters high, you could see very far into the valley of Jezreel. And then they saw it happen. Sisera gathering his chariots, horsemen, footmen, and they were all approaching Mount Tabor. And what must now Barak now do with such a large army, with those chariots? Then the Lord has granted Deborah to speak a special, an exceptional word to Barak to encourage him. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 382, first four stanzas. Lord, thou hast searched me and dost know. Wherever I rest, wherever I go, thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand. And what follows, Psalter 382, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
the Lord going before Barak. Barak's commission, Barak's hesitation, and now Barak's encouragement. We do not read of Deborah that she has denied those 900 chariots and the great army of Sisera, but a Deborah, by the work of the Holy Spirit, was given to look above all those chariots and all those soldiers, as she was given to look unto the Lord, unto whom is given all power. Oh, do we not read in Isaiah 9, verse 6, that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. The Lord has said unto Abram in Genesis 17, verse 1, I am Almighty God. Thus, not to deny the difficulties, because for Barak, those chariots, they were real, and they were visible. But now Deborah, oh, a hand and a foot to one another. And then we see that the Lord, notwithstanding the request of Barak, that the Lord, with Deborah going along, has not granted his disfavor, but has granted Deborah a word to speak. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Then you shall say, boys and girls, but that has not taken place yet. But through faith, that may embrace what the Lord has promised. Ah, for Deborah was so sure, so certain. And then that comforting word for Barak. And that is now the blessed portion of the people of God. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? That, of course, shall not be when we walk in the way of sin and in the way of the world, but Barak in the way of obedience. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? Oh, what a white field in creation. Then the Lord has gone out before Adam and Eve, because the whole garden was created, trees, fruit on the trees, before the Lord has created Adam and Eve. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? Oh, in the way of providence, in the way of his decree, and many times even to the smallest matters. What clear examples we have in the scriptures. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? Oh, let us mention Joseph. Two beautiful dreams. What a privilege when in the church, when there may be youth exercised with the things of the Lord. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? That is Joseph seeking out his brethren. Joseph sold into Egypt, house of Potiphar, in prison. What do you think, Joseph? The words of our text, of course, boys and girls know it. Joseph did not have a Bible in prison. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? How mysterious that the ways of the Lord can be. And now to believe our text, when everything goes smoothly, quite well, not so many troubles. But when the way is so contrary, when there is such a roundabout way, when it seems that the providence of the Lord mocks with the promise, has the Lord forgotten to be kind? But was fulfilled. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? John 13, verse 7. What I doest now, thou knowest not, thou shalt know hereafter. Genesis 50, verse 20. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. Oh, is not the Lord gone out before thee? Then we could speak of Jacob. Oh, considering the children of Israel, is not the Lord gone out before thee? When they went down into Egypt, oh, the first years it was much prosperity, but then they were afflicted sore. And we read particularly in Psalm 68, verse 7, O God, when thou wentest before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, is not the Lord gone out before thee? Then the Lord has given them the pillar of cloud. The Lord has given them the pillar of fire. The Lord has given them the ark. The Lord has led them through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Oh, is the Lord not gone out before thee? Think of the book of Esther. It is many times called the book of God's providence. Oh, it is true in deep and mysterious ways. What I doest now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? When the children of Israel were brought into captivity, then he has brought them back to the promised land. He has revealed his power. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? Ah, the Lord goeth before his church, manifesting his wonderful attributes, and in a way that his name shall receive all the honor and the glory. But more so, is not the Lord gone out before thee? And that is for the people of God in the way of grace. Oh, he has gone out before his church in the council of peace, Psalm 40. The verses 7 and 8, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Oh, is the Lord not gone out before thee, that the Son of God has assumed our human nature, that he is tabernacled upon the earth, that he is preached, that he is healed? But is not the Lord gone out before thee, that he has merited that salvation for his people, a righteousness which shall be imputed, granted and applied by the work of the Holy Spirit? Oh, is the Lord God not went out before thee? See him then, Church of God, when he has went to the cross of Calvary, laden with the sins of his people, then he has went before his church. He has suffered, he has died, he is resurrected. Is the Lord not gone out before thee? Oh, if we would ask that church on the day of the resurrection, the risen greater Joseph was such a vehement desire to reveal himself. I am Joseph. Oh, is the Lord God not went out before them? Oh, think of Mary Magdalene, that weeping Mary. Oh, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Mary, has not the Lord God went out before thee? Oh, that Peter that ascended away 1,000 times, worthy to be cast into hell. But oh, then already in the hall of Caiaphas, then the Lord has went before, when he turned and looked at Peter with a love of compassion. But on the day of the resurrection, is the Lord not gone out before? Oh, then he has visited the travelers to Emmaus, the disciples 8 days later. Is the Lord not gone out before them, before thee? Oh, on the day, oh, he is given that message in Matthew 28, verse 7, that the women were to tell the disciples that I shall go before thee in Galilee to further instruct them pertaining to the things of the Lord. Oh, then 8 days later, the Lord has went before them, before a Thomas when he has revealed those pierced hands and feet, the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord and my God, is the Lord not is not the Lord gone out before thee? Oh, see him then, the glorified Christ. Then we read that he has led his disciples out as far as Bethany. He has blessed them. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? Oh, then he has ascended into heaven. Then the gates were opened for Christ, and therein he has made a way. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, is the Lord not gone out before thee? Then do we not read in John 14, verse 2, I go and prepare a place before thee. Oh, he has gone before to receive a place of honor at the right hand of the Father, and from thence he is gathering, protecting, and defending his church. Oh, what sweet meditations it can be for a child of God when they are given to reflect on the past, that the Lord has gone out before them, the time of conversion, and those special leadings in the steps of grace, that he has gone before them as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Ah, then it is a broad field. Has not the Lord gone out before them in the way of temptations? In Matthew 4, when he was tempted in the wilderness, the threefold temptations, and he has conquered the devil. Oh, do we not read concerning him in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16? For we have not a high priest which cannot the feeling of our infirmities, because he was tempted in all things as we are, sin accepted. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, he has gone before in the way of suffering and persecution. John 15, verse 20, they have persecuted me, and they shall persecute you. Is not the Lord gone out before them? Oh, what a precious word, oh, people of God, that he has gone, and he shall, that shall continue to the very end. Is not the Lord gone out before them? Oh, what an encouraging word for Barak. Barak, it is not thy cause, it is not thy kingdom, but the Lord shall go before thee. He shall manifest unto thee his almighty power, his love. Oh, what pleases the Lord in those ways of trials and temptations that he goes before them with his divine attributes to make himself glorious in the hearts of his people. Oh, his love, his justice, his power, his righteousness. Oh, is the Lord not gone out? That is now the blessed portion of the people of God. And now the question. Do we now belong to that people? That is a profound question. Do we now belong to that people for whom the Lord has gone before? Oh, may many be aroused to a holy jealousy. And the Lord goes before all of us with his word. Many a callings have come. Goes before us in so many ways. The Lord calls, the Lord knocks. My son, my daughter, give me thy heart. And do we follow? Do we now follow and give heed to the Lord? Or do we have many excuses? Are we still an enemy of the Lord? Oh, may it please the Lord to go forth by his quickening, by his enlightening work, the love shed abroad in the heart. And when the Lord converts, then we stand so outside. Then we learn what it is to be unconverted. Then we learn the anger and wrath of God. And then we become a seeking people. And then we are given to beg, "Ach, Lord, may I now be a sheep, even a little lamb, that may follow the good shepherd that goes before his church, and who shall bring his sheep home." Oh, let us close. That is now the blessed portion, and for the people of God. So dependent, John 15, verse 5, "Without me ye can do nothing." But when there may be those times, and they may be given to see, they may be given to believe that the Lord goes before them. Then there are times when faith is an exercise, and there are different measures of faith. Oh, there is weak faith. But the Lord has a people with a small faith that may be given to believe in a great God. And then they may receive courage in the midst of all the strife. Oh, Christ has went before his church with that defeating of that triple-headed enemy. And Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 31, "If God then be for us, who shall be against us?" And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of a precious encouragement which Barak has received from Deborah. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? And now thou continuest to go before us with thy word and with thy eternal testimony, with thy goodness and with thy callings. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant by thy grace that we may be given to give heed and to ask for thy ways to follow thee, and to ask for the pardoning of all of our sins. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people that are so dependent. Everything must come from above. And it is now the work of the Spirit to bring to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, who was went before his church to redeem them, and at the end to bring them eternally home. And there they may eternally praise thee, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name be all the honor and the glory, Lord. May it please thee to watch over us in the furtherance of this week. Grant sweet meditations, and may our text words, may it be turned into prayer by many of those that still stand outside, that they may be included in that number. May the prayers be multiplied. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 381, 2 and 3. I cried to thee, and thou didst save. Thy word of grace new courage gave. The kings of earth shall thank thee, Lord, for they have heard thy wondrous word. And what follows, 381, 2 and 3.
Thank you.
may save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.